Blog Talk Radio.
This is the RF Radio Show with OJ and Dreadfish.
Everybody, you're listening to Radio RF. It's 6:30 Eastern Time, and I'm Dreadfish.
I'm Ada OJ. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Sorry for the slight inconvenience. There is a moment of technical difficulties there. Got a Skype hold on call on with using it. But now, and everything's rolling.
So happy Wednesday, everyone. And we wanted to remind you, we're still doing our spring pledge drive, and you know, we're like one third of the way there. The reason I really want to get this knocked out as quickly as possible is because we get a fee each time we cut a check from the service that we're using to get for this, and. If I could get it all at once, there'd be less fees, and it would cost us less, and it'd be easier. And it takes a while to get the checks also, so I don't want to keep sending myself, because then I would just get it all together, and then this way I have the years of issues, and we can just buy it all the whole year at one time. Anyways, the link is provided in the show details, so please check out the GoFundMe page. And thank you for those who already have donated to us. I read in the forums this week that Wiry's father passed on Sunday. So I'd like this moment to pay our respects with a moment of silence. Anyways, again... our respects to Wiry and his family in this time of sorrow. And anyways, today's episode is a bit different than all of our previous episodes.
Yes, tonight.
You want to tell them why it's different?
Go ahead, then.
Tonight's episode is a bit different. You don't have a topic or a guest like we normally do, but we're going to be talking to each other, this time just about each other, but we're hoping to have more episodes with just Dreadfish and I talking. So if you have a topic you want to hear us speak about, there are multiple ways you can submit that to us. You have our discussion thread, you can private message us, you can call into the show, you can post it on our walls, some of you can post it on our Facebook walls. So just contact us and let us know what you want us to talk about, and we can talk about those topics. And we wanted to encourage people to call in on tonight's episode. I know I always encourage people to call in for the episode, but particular episode, I feel it's a little bit different than most of the episodes. I encourage you, as in you're not taking away time from our guests. It's just Dred and I. So that call-in number is 646-200-4733. Again, that's 646-200-4733. And you can save this number because it's the same call-in number every episode. We will have this number for as long as we have this Block Talk account. So if you just say the number, you can every Monday and Thursday, you can call that number at 6:30 to 7:30, and you will reach us doing this show. So feel free to add that to your contact list, everyone. Anyone calling in?
No calls yet. So before we get into talking with each other about, our past, our ideas, our backgrounds, this sort of thing, just going to take a little bit of time, you know, the usual news of the day and that sort of thing. So today, one of the things I want to talk about is we have a thread about running on RF, and I have been running for a little while now. I had to stop recently because I had a back injury, minor back injury, but it's still been a little bit slow to heal, and it's lower back, so it's difficult to do anything that might not irritate it. But today, I finally got to have another run, gave it a try to see if it might hurt, but it didn't. And so lately, I have been working on going barefoot. I want to do running, that sort of thing. I'm a minimalist and a naturalist. So one of my goals is to hike barefoot someday soon. And that's also been running on the back injury. So today I went running and barefoot. And it's been the first time I ran in about a week, or about 2.5 weeks, I think, most 3 weeks. And so it went pretty well. I ran about 1.5 miles and did the whole thing barefoot, which is nice. I have a few sore spots, my minor blister, but it's not bad. It'll get my feet tougher. So I was happy about that. It's been a good day so far.
Have you ever seen those toe shoes? The ones that, like,
yes.
You had to get...
Yes, the Vibram Five Fingers. I had looked into those. They seem to be pretty cool, but apparently they stink real bad after you use them. I am a fan of the minimal footwear.
That's my thought.
I hate wearing socks and shoes, too. I'm a wild animal. I don't like to wear all that stuff. But I do like minimal shoes. I got some minimalist sandals that I first started to run in, and it's still so much better to run barefoot. But so the minimalist sandals, they have the rubber. They have a footbed that's this one made out of cork and a material called EVA, and those are pretty nice. So those are my backs if I can't go somewhere barefoot due to the terrain being too rough. So I'm a fan of that sort of thing, definitely. It encourages a different type of running where you land midfoot. And I would argue that that's the natural way to run. It completely minimizes or completely eliminates any kind of shock whenever you land on the ground. And it strengthens foot and knee muscles. If you're used to running with a heel strike, then you need to get into it slowly because there's a lot of muscles you haven't been using, and it'll you'll get sore real easy.
I made the mistake once of going to work barefoot when I worked for a tree company. Now, the reason I made this mistake was because we were going into a lake and we were swimming around because a tree had fallen into the lake on someone's property and we had to take it out. And I eventually ended up sitting on a chainsaw. Luckily, the thing wasn't running. And it was only, like, some stitches in the bottom of my foot.
Ouch.
Long story short, wear shoes when you're working. Dress appropriately environment.
It's true. I have a friend who works for a tree company also. And he keeps harnesses and the ropes. And we go on his land. He has a few acres with a field, some horses. And trees, we go and climb trees just recreationally, really tall trees, and it's really fun, like literally just hanging out and hanging by the ropes and the harness. And I did try doing that barefoot once, not ready, but we're gonna have a boot back on, but it's real fun stuff.
Hey, I'm gonna have to tell you, Skype is kind of choppy. I mean, I think it might be best if we switch back to phones, because
right.
You keep going choppy in and out.
All right. Well, you go ahead and, well, actually, this is a good time.
Yeah, play a section.
Yes, this is a good time for our next episode of The Beatdown. So here I will leave you with that while I switch over to the phone.
This is The Beatdown with Lewis Knott Miller.
G'day, RF. Welcome once again to your favourite online sports segment, The Beatdown, with me, Lewis Knott Miller. Today I'll be conducting a very special interview with the Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Tony Abbott. We're going to discuss his participation in Ironman events and, in particular, his habit of wearing the briefest of swimming trunks. Known colloquially in Australia as budgie smugglers. I'll let you guys imagine why that might be, or better still, look it up on Google and be ready to be horrified. Mr. Abbott, welcome to the Beatdown. I wish you a good afternoon.
Afternoon to you.
And a welcome not only to the Beatdown, but also to religious forums. We play to a global audience, so any brief words on being Prime Minister of Australia?
I have to say that to be Prime Minister of this great country is a tremendous thrill. It's a heavy responsibility, but it is an exhilaration, and every day I thank God for the privilege and the honour of leading our country.
We have all sorts of listeners, Mr. Abbott. Hindus, Buddhists, Satanists, even atheists. I assume you're okay with that?
Dear.
Yes, well, anyway. Religion notwithstanding, the other thing we like to discuss here on the Beatdown is sports. And we hopefully take a slightly different angle on things. So your staff told me that you've listened to the first couple of shows. What did you think of the Beatdown, Mr. Abbott?
This is just an abomination.
Right, well, thanks. Anyway, moving right along, I'm not sure if all the listeners are aware, we do have a global audience, but you've worked very hard to keep yourself fit, and you've even successfully completed Ironman events. So surely that's something that you're very proud of.
I'd be the first to say that I can always do better.
Of course. The issue that's constantly raised in relation to your sporting prowess is not so much on whether you can do better, though, Mr. Abbott. It's more about whether you could possibly wear a little bit more clothing. The global audience wants to know, why budgie smugglers? Why not a nice, discreet pair of board shorts? Something more suitable for a man of your age.
Come on.
We're not looking for equivocations, Mr. Abbott. There's protesters lined up all along the beaches when you emerged from the water in your last Ironman event, and they're all calling for the same thing. They wanted budgie smugglers, to be banned. What do you say to that?
I think that what everyone should be doing at the moment is listening to the sensible people.
So it sounds like you're rejecting all attempts to make you dress more appropriately, Mr. Abbott. Any comments for the protesters themselves?
So it'll be much, much harder for people to get away with preaching this ugly, horrible, un-Australian message. Now, yes, we saw absolutely abominable scenes in the heart of Sydney a couple of years ago that you've just referred to.
Well, sure. I mean, now that you mention it, yeah, we saw horrible scenes, but I'm not talking about the protesters. I mean, Mr. Abbott, all of Australia saw you adjusting your, they saw you adjusting your junk, Mr. Abbott. It's not funny, Mr. Abbott. Do you find it funny that I need to ask you about your junk adjustments on global radio?
I think that was quite an amusing way of putting it.
I think what we all really want to know, Mr. Abbott, is why. Why did you feel the need to adjust your man bits right there in front of the cameras?
We got advice from the medical organisations. They then reconsidered that advice and we changed our position. And yes, it was a bit inelegant.
Inelegant. Inelegant is putting it mildly, Mr. Abbott. You would have us believe that you're only jostling your privates for medical reasons. And what about just moments later when you picked a wedgie right out of your butt crack in front of a female journalist?
It's cheeky of you to pose that question.
Mr. Abbott. Mr. Abbott, I fail to see that this is the time to make cheeky butt jokes. Anyway, the fallout of the incident wasn't limited to your bad puns and a few upset protesters. Paparazzi pictures of your junk adjustment fetched prices upwards of $3.50 on the open market, leading you to introducing new laws banning the exploitation of your body for commercial gain and forcing transgressors to wax your back for you before Ironman events. Surely that's an overreaction, Mr. Abbott?
I don't begrudge people the money. I'm a high-paid worker, and the last thing I want to do is begrudge comparatively low-paid workers their money. But in the end, there's a balance that's got to be struck here.
And you think that these new laws will stop Tony Abbott's soft porn photo trafficking?
Well, it'll be much harder to engage in that under the new laws which the government passed late last year.
In return, Mr. Abbott, can you do a favour for the Australian people and promise to stop adjusting your man bits in front of the cameras?
We know that this will be a difficulty, a big, big difficulty.
You're kidding yourself, mate. It didn't look like a big difficulty to me. It looked pretty modest. Just kind of assuming that there was some cold water shrinkage that occurred. Is that what had occurred, Mr. Abbott? You got in the cold water and lost a bit of size?
That's my impression. I don't claim to be an expert.
Right. Well, on that slightly disturbing note, I'd like to thank you for your time today. Have you got any final comments for the listeners?
Well, it was certainly a very colourful interview.
Tony Abbott, Prime Minister of Australia, thank you for appearing on The Beatdown.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so there you have it. Tony Abbott, Prime Minister of Australia. I'll try and do better next time, but for now, Lewis Knott Miller signing off.
Again, thank you, Lewis Knott Miller, for your excellent segment this week. I don't know how you got Tony Abbott to get on the program, but obviously you're a great connection to have here with Radio RF. So if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Radio RF, of course. Tonight, E.T. and I will be interviewing each other. We're just going to be talking about our backgrounds with religion, philosophies, maybe some politics as well. So give you an idea of your hosts tonight. So to start this section off, I want to ask you, Itty, obviously on RF, we all have some sort of association, whether political, philosophical, or religious. Where would you describe yourself now? What do you identify as or not identify as?
I think now I'd most identify with the term seeker. I wouldn't even say seeker. I'd more like unsure. I feel like I've always been a seeker, so I don't want to use seeker as a descriptive term. But in regards to where I'm at now, I'm kind of unsure of which terminology I want to use to describe myself at the moment. I mean, I was currently using the LHP terminology to say a lot, but I don't really feel connected to it anymore or driven in that particular angle. I'm definitely an atheist. I'm also an agnostic. Those things are pretty solidly set for me. I'm also a humanist and an existentialist. And, those things are pretty standard through the different phases I suppose I go through. But in regards to religiousness, spirituality, and even politics, I'm kind of not sure where or who I want to be. And if there are answers to these questions, and some of them are kind of hard, like the politics question is kind of hard, because if I'm ultimately true with myself, I suppose in a lot of ways I'm an anarchist. But I see that as kind of unfeasible and unreasonable and unhelpful in terms of really stating what I feel things should and shouldn't be. So, in American politics, it's even harder to find anything that leans the way I do. So I've been voting libertarian, but I think I am more Green Party. But even then, that's not even really a close approximation to how I feel things really should be. It's just when I adopt a realistic viewpoint. So mostly confused right now. I'm going to go with confused.
It's not a bad answer. I think that whenever we think that we found all the answers, we're probably a little bit more ignorant than we realize.
Now, where would you place yourself right now?
Well, it is a difficult question to answer. I'm not a seeker anymore. Officially, I could say that I'm Buddhist, and officially I am a Buddhist. A few years ago, I took the precepts in Soto Zen. In most of the Buddhist traditions, usually only monks are ordained to practice, and the general outlook is that the lay people can mostly only support the monks, but they can't really achieve what the monks. This is especially true in Theravada. But in Soto Zen, which was founded by Dogen decided to institute a lay ordination to ordain regular lay people to practice. And he even, he put out teachings for this. There is the Fukan Zazengi, which is the instructions on sitting, and this is basically to lay people. But he encourages lay people to sit for 10 minutes a day. And by sit, I mean Zazen, sitting meditation. So in the Soto tradition, we have lay ordination. I sewed the Rakusu, which is the small Buddha robe you may have seen. It looks kind of like a bib. You may have seen on some Japanese monks. I believe they may have it in the Chinese traditions as well. And it's just a miniature Buddha robe. It has the little rice field patterns and all that. And with each stitch, whenever we sewed it, we would silently repeat to ourselves, "I take refuge in the Buddha," and that sort of thing. Then we had a session which was an extended period of time dedicated to sitting. This was actually a short session. It was only a weekend, generally there about 5 days. And then we had the precept ceremony, which was on the, I don't remember the name of the day. I'm actually really bad at a lot of these names, even though I'm Buddhist, but it was the Buddha's birthday, and it was on the same day, so that was nice. But we took the precepts, received a Dharma name and all of that, and my Dharma name is Shuxin, which means practice mind. So saying all that to say that officially I am Buddhist, however, I don't limit myself to those teachings specifically. I'm Buddhist insofar as I practice the teachings of the Buddha and I practice the Dharma. But I'm also very heavily influenced by the teachings of Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta Maharaj. And I don't find them to be in conflict. I did for a while, as recent as last year. I was pretty conflicted. I was one of those, where am I? What am I? I don't know. But now I'm content to be nothing. I'm just simply practicing.
Okay. I've always had questions about this difference between beliefs and practices, because previously in my past, I was in a position where I was practicing things without necessarily having the belief in them. It was kind of a suspension of disbelief, fake it till you make it, kind of chaos magic, kind of thing for large swaths of what I did, and quite honestly, for a long period of me doing it. So, in regards to my belief, I kind of cycled to paganism and atheism multiple times, and a lot of it has to do with different realizations I've had. Like, I left Christianity and moved kind of quickly into various forms of Christianity. I kind of just left Christianity almost immediately, really. And then the next kind of place where I kind of had a sense of awareness of being in a place was paganism, particularly like shamanism and druidism and kind of just generic paganism. And then eventually I kind of saw myself being more of a naturalist and a skeptic and an atheist. And then I kind of got sucked back into the pagan universe, except for on the second time, it didn't really involve beliefs, but practices and experiences. And if anything, I found that more rewarding and more insightful than any other period, really. But eventually, it kind of grew stale, and I kind of found myself back into the naturalist, atheist, skeptic kind of area. But, I mean, it was kind of not really decided upon on this last time. I kind of just no longer feel the same way I did before, And when I came to RF, I kind of found that the people I most talked to easily were the LH peers, versus just the pagan community on IRF, which seems to be a lot more structured than I was used to as someone who was practicing chaos magic. Anyways, I just started kind of responding to a statement you made during the question I was really going to ask for that, but I've already lost it.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Like you mentioned, being in with the left-handed path and being able to identify with them. Where do you find yourself with that?
Again, like I said, kind of confused and unsure, because in regards to calling myself a member of the LHP, there are certain things that I found useful as the descriptors to use in conversations and even just exploring for myself, particularly autotheism, the approach to magic, the difference between lesser and greater black magic. But for the most part, I've always found that I was completely not using any of the symbolism, the culture, the speakers, and, the wisdom holders, the truth holders, whatever you want to call them. None of that was ever anything I was interested in. And there's just not much with regards to the community, for me to grasp that, lacking belief in any of it. And even practices, I didn't really have any LHP practices, but in regards to how I wanted to view things, I found the language of the LHP, particularly at our community, to be the most useful. And right now, while I still completely agree and believe in a lot of the things I would say, it's how I understand them, and I don't necessarily find that it's useful to use that label right now, lacking anything really to discuss about these topics. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think so. Now you were talking about views, that reminded me of something that would be interesting to talk about, I think. We're speaking of beliefs and practices. In general, at this moment, I sort of think of beliefs as a little bit binding. They can be limiting, and I think that they can also obscure the truth, the fact of the matter from us, because we see through certain lenses. But at the same time, beliefs are interesting in that sometimes we believe a certain thing and we don't necessarily practice. Belief becomes, I guess, it directs the way we approach life, and so it can still be effective. It's interesting that deciding I'm like this or I believe this, basically it makes us approach life differently. It changes life to us and changes us to ourselves. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes kind of a lot of sense. I mean, again, a lot of what happened in particular phases of my path involved that exact mentality, where it was more of a practice than a set of beliefs. It was just almost more mysticism in the sense that it was experiences being stacked upon each other, but without ever really forming an opinion about those experiences. It was just kind of just continuing the experiences.
Yeah, I do think that it's still valuable, though I would say it's provisional, so that you will end up having to put these down at some point. So maybe it's most effective to look at beliefs as provisional, that you do put them down at some point. They are not absolute, and they are not the fact of the matter or the truth, but they can be a director. I kind of, looking into my recent past even, can look at beliefs as putting on clothes. You put on certain uniforms. You know, we have a lot of members.
My friend, you would make a fine chaos magician.
And, you know, I've been interested in chaos magic, too. It is interesting. I like that. But, you know, we've seen a lot of members. After a while, they've decided, you know, this feels more right to me. And so in assuming a belief, we're also identifying with something. So that's a very key point of belief to me, I think, is that it is identity. We're identifying with something. We're saying, this is mine, or I am this. And in my current philosophical framework, that's a degree of ignorance to think I am this, because whatever we think we are is impermanent and it will pass, and so we're going to experience some degree of dissatisfaction from that.
But tell me, actually, this: do you ever feel a lot of cognitive dissonance with that kind of approach?
Yes, most recently. I experienced a lot of cognitive dissonance because I was like, you know, what am I here? Am I still a Buddhist, or am I this? What do I believe? You know, and I realized that, I mean, that I trying to identify with something is what's causing the dissonance. And I think that we have a very strong ingrained drive to identify with things. And I think that's sort of the crux of the matter.
Actually,
really
found that I've been experiencing this sensation really for the first time ever, cognitive dissonance. I mean, I've kind of always been able to hold competing ideas in my head with little to no real issue. But recently, and this kind of leads to me questioning where am I? I feel confused. Kind of mentality is that I am no longer really able to engage in practices the same way, acknowledging at the same time that I don't believe in them. And I don't know. I feel like we live a lot of us listen to the politics of today, in the sense that we kind of live in a day and age where anti-science is almost the norm, and anti-reality in so many senses. You have so many attacks on reality and facts just nonstop nowadays that I feel almost wrong to even use something, even though it benefits me and makes me happy, if I don't actually believe in it, because I'm someone supporting these untruths that I see are almost plaguing our society. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and I get what you mean. I think that you're not necessarily being kind of anti-reality or anti-science by using these. Unfortunately for science, it often seems to be presented in a really dry way, so we get this idea that science is really, we see it as very technical, maybe scholarly, but it's really dry, and so with the way we're generally presented with science, it doesn't seem to add much meaning to life. But, you know, I'm not saying this is actually the fact of science. I know that obviously science is kind of without either or. I mean, it's merely describing mechanisms, laws. But I think that beliefs and some of these frameworks they're sort of an expression. So it depends on how you relate to them, whether they're a problem or not.
I agree and kind of disagree in the same regard. Have you read Richard Dawkins' Unweaving the Rainbow? It kind of deals almost exactly with that issue of science and not dealing with beauty or expression. And in a way, it shows that you can kind of get both of those from a scientific or naturalistic viewpoint. And
yeah.
I believe that. So I found all too often that reality is kind of under assault. Right now we have climate deniers, you know, we have young earth creationists at large in this country, representing not a minority in our country. And the growth of a lot of like anti-science in regards to conspiracy theories, and it's just kind of scary to see so much people attack science that I feel hesitant to not take a viewpoint that really expresses anything other than that. That I feel that it we're almost at a critical juncture in our time, and it's kind of important that we stand up for certain things. And I believe in these things, whereas the other things, I don't believe in them. And while some things that I do believe in are under attack, I don't necessarily feel comfortable engaging in things I don't believe in fear of endorsing them versus the things I do believe in.
That makes sense. And I think the way I relate to that is that the certain beliefs or belief systems which I have adopted or that I follow, in my view, can be in line with science and the way it describes things. One of the main differences, I think, is that a lot of these with religion and philosophy relate in a very subjective way to reality, while science attempts to describe an objective form. I don't feel like the practices and philosophical frameworks which I've adopted are really at odds with science.
I hear a lot of people say that. It's just, personally for me, my experience has been is most sets of beliefs are indeed in some form of opposition to science.
Yeah,
so,
and with some of them, I think it's...
You go.
I was just with some of them, I think it's like a different interpretation of the same thing. So I think not necessarily are dead. Not all these beliefs are necessarily in opposition with science.
Well, I think you make a good point there. I mean, even Richard Dawkins will call pantheism just sexed up atheism. And by that definition, I've definitely been a pantheist, could be a pantheist, might still be a pantheist. But I don't think it necessarily expresses anything other than a poetic sense of beauty and appreciation. And at a time when again, I feel that facts are under assault, I just don't necessarily feel comfortable engaging in that kind of behavior.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so we'll get back to this conversation in a minute, but we're going to take a quick break and introduce our newest segment by well-named 5-Minute Philosophy. So here you go.
We shall be discussing philosophy with your host, well-named.
Hello, I'm well-named, and this is 5-Minute Philosophy. Why are we here? I don't mean why do we exist, I mean why am I doing this segment? I'm calling it 5-Minute Philosophy, but 5 minutes is clearly not enough time to do justice to any of the more interesting problems, some of which have been debated for thousands of years. So, why do this? I think that it is enough time to raise interesting questions, and to me, the questions are almost always more interesting than the answers. So that is my goal. I'm hoping to introduce you to some interesting questions from the history of philosophy. And this week's topic is perfect for that, in my opinion. It is at once both intimate and familiar, and yet also arcane and metaphysical, and involving these unresolved questions of science. It is the question of free will. Is it true that I am free to choose A over B? But already there's a problem. What does the question mean? What is an I? Who am I? What does it really mean to choose? What distinguishes a free choice from a merely unpredictable outcome? Historically, free will became the subject of debate about the same time that philosophy and science began to explore the mathematical nature of physics, and with it, causation and determinism. So the implication of determinism in our mathematical physical models raised this question of what does choice mean in a new way. And the primary ways that philosophers came to think about free will center around that relation between choice and determinism. The two positions are called compatibilism and incompatibilism. And the question gets rephrased, is choice compatible with determinism? Compatibilists say yes, and incompatibilists say no, as you might have guessed. But that phrasing is already also misleading, because in reality, the two positions aren't arguing only about yes or no, do I have free will or not, but rather they each involve completely separate definitions of words like choice and will and moral responsibility, a completely different understanding of the meaning of the question. And this is an important point to remember. Compatibilism and incompatibilism isn't just a debate about how the world is, it's a debate about what could be a meaningful understanding of the word free will. So, compatible or incompatible with determinism? The incompatibilist view defines the word choice as necessitating some metaphysical possibility. It's the idea that in order for A to really have been chosen over B, in order for it to be an act of free will, an agent must be able to act in a completely undetermined way against any prior causation. In other words, for incompatibilists, choice is against determination, hence incompatibility. So there are incompatibilists who believe in determinism, and therefore they reject free will as an illusion. Sam Harris is probably a well-known example. And on the other hand, there are incompatibilists who reject determinism and believe that free will exists. They are called libertarians, although we should be careful not to confuse them with the political ideology. So with incompatibilism, if the key word is that choice is metaphysical, then compatibilism, by contrast, is what we might call a legal view. It eschews metaphysics in favor of a more pragmatic definition. So in a legal context, if I say, I acted of my own free will, I mean that whatever the ultimate or first cause of my action was, even if the universe is determined, as long as the proximate cause is internal to myself, as long as I was not coerced by someone else, then I have acted freely. This is the key difference, then. Imagine a mugger is holding a gun to my head, demanding my wallet. May I refuse him with free will? The libertarian says yes, because it's metaphysical. I can choose to not hand over my wallet. The compatibilist says no, because coercion is the opposite of free will. I am being coerced to hand over my wallet, and I don't have a choice, a real and meaningful choice. So for the compatibilist, terms like free will and moral responsibility and choice, they're all deflated of any metaphysical requirement, and they end up just referring to this practical distinction between the part of reality that is internal to me and the part that is on the outside, so to speak. And compatibilists aren't worried about the fact that inner and outer distinctions will disappear if we reduce everything to the description of just fundamental particles and forces, because compatibilists aren't trying to describe something fundamental and metaphysical in the way the incompatibilists are. They're just trying to rescue a meaningful understanding of free will and moral responsibility. So, clearly there's a lot more to say on this topic, and of course we haven't even tried to answer the question, is determinism true? But that's all for now. And I'm Well Named, and this was 5 Minute Philosophy. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you again, Well Named, for that excellent segment. We definitely want you to continue making segments for us. If you're just tuning in, tonight, ETOJ and I are interviewing each other, talking about our backgrounds, our ideas. We'll get into how we came to RF and even why we're doing this radio show. I also like to remind you that we're still doing our spring pledge drive. So if you want to donate any money, we have the link in the description to this episode, and it is also in the RF radio thread.
Also,
tonight's episode. Yes, go ahead.
Again, I just wanted to explain why we're pushing so hard on our campaign right now. And we're currently at $500 that we're looking for the year cost of hosting this show. And the real reason why I'm pushing so hard to get all the money at once is because whenever we cut a check, we get a fee from the GoFundMe page, which is only fair, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that. But I'd like to get as few of them as possible. Also, it takes like several weeks to get the check sometimes. And I don't want to keep constantly sending myself checks and then having to front the money to the account. It would be the most convenient if I could just get the money all at once and then, you know, send the check. And then we could buy the entire year's worth of access at once and be done with it. And it's a little bit more convenient for me. And that's why we're pushing so hard on this campaign. Help us on this spring extra by donating.
If you enjoy Radio RF, then definitely try to donate. Even just a little bit is most definitely appreciated. Without a premium account, then we're only able to broadcast for 30 minutes at a time and only specific time slots. So it's in our best interest to try to keep a premium account so that we can continue one-hour episodes. Now, also, tonight's episode is dedicated to Wiry's father. As we mentioned earlier in the episode, Wiry's father has passed recently. So our condolences to Wiry.
Yes, thoughts and prayers his way, everyone.
So as we get into this interview, we've talked about our beliefs a little bit and where we are now. I wanted to get into where we came from, where we started religiously speaking and philosophically speaking. So I'll start with you, E.T. Like, where did you start?
Okay, well, I was born and raised Roman Catholic, but I would say that my experience was more than just born and raised. I was very active in my church community, altar server, you know, involved in the youth ministries, and various other aspects of church culture, as well as looking into becoming a priest. And to the point where I've actually had like a conversation with the parish and my family and me and like various different like organizations about me becoming a priest when I was entering high school. Basically, they told me to wait a year and then come back to them. And within that year, a bad sermon kind of led to me losing my faith. And then I quickly, as I said earlier, spiraled into paganism and then into atheism and then into paganism and then atheism again. But yeah, I mean, I was very heavily into the whole church thing up until the point where I was literally altar serving, and I lost my faith, like, while at the altar. Like, it was kind of awkward. Where did your path begin?
Well, I started out as a Methodist. Grew up as a little kid, you know, thinking everybody in the world goes to church. This is just a fact of life, you know. It's not a matter of religion or anything like that. It's just, you know, a fact of life, you know. And so as I was growing up, as I got older, you know, it was just, you know, I go to church, and everybody I knew went to church too, I think, for the most part. I didn't think about it very much. It wasn't a central part of my life. But actually, the church was also a central part of my life, because both my parents worked at our church, and the after-school care for the grade school-age kids, my mom did that, and my dad worked with the younger preschooler and kindergarten-age kids. And so actually, my church became a second home to me, because I spent every day there except Saturdays. And in fact, I spent more time on the weekdays than I did on Sunday. And so I loved that church. I've been everywhere inside that church except for the bell tower. So once I came older, I'd been to church. You know, we ended up going to a contemporary church. And for a while, I went to don't know the denomination. I guess they were basically Baptists, but it was a black church. And that was interesting, too. The services went on for about 2 hours. But at some point, I don't know why, I actually, like, really became serious about my religion. And that's whenever I started to realize that Christianity wasn't satisfying me. If pastors, preachers are supposed to be called to the ministry by God, why are they saying different things, and why do they disagree on certain things? They're supposed to be inspired by God, or they're supposed to get their messages from God. So somebody's not getting their message from God. I don't know who. So I decided to, you know, go to the source, so to speak, and I prayed to God to show me the truth. And after that, shortly, I just, you know, left Christianity. Explored different religions. I actually first started out with Rastafari because I don't know how I got into that, to be honest. But it wasn't a huge leap, because it's very, very similar, you know, very similar to Christianity. And then, you know, me being white, it was a little bit weird to me for a while. I felt conflict with that. And I ended up moving, incidentally, exploring Hinduism, because there's actually some Hindu influence in Rastafari with a little bit with the dreadlocks and marijuana smoking.
I didn't know that.
That came from the sadhus. What I had read, I don't know how true this is, but when some slaves were brought to the Caribbean, also some Indians were, and some of those Indians were sadhus, apparently. Don't know if that's true or not, but this is what I read. It makes some sense. So, got into Hinduism, always in and out of Buddhism a little bit as I explored different things, also Taoism. So a lot of that different stuff. I eventually settled into Buddhism. And that was a little bit difficult because of the whole idea of no self and no God, and God was very important to me. At some point, I took this idea, you know, the little story that if you love something, then you let it go, and if it's yours, then it comes back. And so I love God very much, and so I let go of God and decided, you know, if this is the fact, if this is true, then God will come back at some point, and this is, you know, this is a true thing. And it didn't. So, you know, the idea of God is just a concept to me now, and I don't think that it is applicable to reality. So now I'm a Buddhist, basically, but also heavy influence of Taoism and that sort of thing.
I'd actually have to say I haven't mentioned anything about that at all, but periodically I have been drawn to Taoism or Taoism or however you want to say it. And I've just recently been felt slightly pulled that way again. What I find interesting about Taoism is that in its purest essence, I don't find it contradicts any other viewpoint I've ever held, including that of a naturalist through a scientific lens and as a skeptic. And I found that it's in complete harmony with a naturalistic viewpoint. And it still continues to be. And then there are aspects of it that still require a deep amount of contemplation. And eventually, I suppose, I'll get there, and my interest will deepen. Or it won't. I don't really know. But if you start seeing you make a lot of threads or comments and a lot of threads in that section, you know why. And you've probably already noticed that I've already increased my participation in that section. And I don't really know where or if it'll go anywhere. But I've explored this area before, and I just might again. Anyways, I know last episode, and I said my favorite term, anyways. And I point this out because apparently I say it too much on air. So by pointing it out, it should embarrass me enough to stop saying it, like, every time I'm trying to do a transition. And hopefully I stop pointing out that I say it because I stop saying it. And if you see me say it, you should call and be like, Eddie, stop saying that. And Drake, can you tell us the call-in number again?
Yes, the call-in number is 646-200-4733. That's 646-200-4733. And we're taking any and all calls. So if you have questions, comments, or you just want to harass us, then go ahead and call in.
I just wanted to add to that that we're probably going to go a little late on tonight's episode, looking at the time we're at 7:20. And we have another clip to play, well, a song, and even a topic to discuss, and I feel it's a pretty involved topic. And we're still hoping to get guests, so we're hoping to at least listen to the show by at least a half hour, but who knows. And let us know in the comment section of our discussion on the RF forum of what you think about time length. You've been doing an hour length, and this seems to be working, but how do you guys feel if we were to extend it? Do you like that? Is an hour too long? Is an hour perfect? Is an hour and a half perfect? Is 2 hours perfect? You know, how do you feel? I don't think we can go past 2 hours without more money. So we'll just leave it at 2 hours for now. I think it's the most we can do. Anyways, I did it again, once again. Anyways, let's stop saying anyways. Dreadfish, you play a lot of music, and we talked a lot about this last episode. Matter of fact, I had to tell you to stop talking about this so we could continue last week's episode when we were talking about your music playing as well as the various instruments you play. And by the way, tonight's music is actually by Dreadfish. Matter of fact, do you want to introduce the song? What are you playing? What band is this? And how old are you when you're in this band and stuff like that?
Well, as I mentioned last time, I was in a band about 2 years ago with some older guys. It was a very good experience. And so I played bass in this band. And our guitarist, he was basically the creative center of this band. He wrote a lot of the lyrics for the most part, and our singer also contributed to the lyrics. But he would write all of the chord progressions, all that sort of thing. We'd give our feedback to certain things, but he was really the creative center. And he's an excellent songwriter. I was a bass player. It was a great experience. Definitely pushed me to be a better musician. So here I'm about to play a song for you. Our band was named Sundog, one of the many names that we had. But this was the most recent one for me. And the song is called Babylon.
I'm a long, long way from home, on my way to Babylon. I'll be dust before the dawn, on my way. I've been chasing
So that was the song Babylon by my old band, Sundog. So we're back now. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about, ETs and I past, our beliefs, background, that sort of thing. And we're accepting calls. In fact, we have one. I'll get you in one moment. Our call-in number is 646-200-4733. So now I'll take this call.
Hello.
Hey. Who's
this
calling?
GSA calling in. How are you?
Hey. Good. How are you?
So I thought that I would ask Dreadfish, because you took the precepts you had said earlier, right?
Yes.
Okay. What was your understanding of the connection between your practice and some of the other concepts that go along with dharmic practices generally and Buddhism specifically, like rebirth and samsara and the other kind of supernatural elements?
Now, can you rephrase that?
Sure. When you started practicing, did you accept as well the idea of rebirth and reincarnation, that kind of thing?
Okay. Basically, yes. Didn't see a huge reason to deny that it's a fact. And even now, I don't see a reason to deny that it's a fact. In Buddhism, it's more rebirth than reincarnation, so there's not a particular element which is reborn into each body. It's more of a continuation of causes. And that's pretty difficult to understand from the outside and even from the inside until you get really familiar with it. At this point, I also perceive rebirth to be taking place moment to moment. And I think if we all look at our current lives, we can see how we feel like different people from here to there. From moment to moment, we take different births. So it can apply in a single physical lifetime and maybe even in multiple physical lifetimes. At this point, I'm ambivalent about whether there's actual physical rebirth.
Okay.
So does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that answers the question.
All right. Well, thank you for your question.
Real quick?
Yeah, anything else?
Nope.
Go ahead.
Hello?
All right. Thank you for calling in.
And sorry, guys. That was my bad. I was talking over people. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Thank you again for calling in. Anyways, I'd like to take this moment, and I'd like to, I've forgotten what I was about to say. But I'm so rudely interrupting people that I no longer actually have anything to say that now that you're paying attention to me. And this is pretty awkward because I had something pretty important to say, as I felt it was important, and now I no longer have anything to say. Nothing.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I should keep talking until I remember.
Well, we can continue talking a little bit. Now, you've told me that you're married. You've also mentioned this on the forums, I think. So you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. I've gotten married in January. I got married January 5th. So in 3 days, it'll be my, 3 or 4 month anniversary? It'll be, 4 or 5 soon. So I guess I'll be married for 5 or 4 months. Well, I guess it'll be 3 months. Yeah, so it'll be my 3 month marriage anniversary in 3 days from now. And as most of you probably already know, we're expecting our first child. And I'm pretty excited about that. I've always wanted to have a family. I'm the oldest of five, or four, I mean. And I'm actually the only boy, too. So that might explain all sorts of questions you might have, by the way, about me. Yes, I'm the oldest of four, and I'm the only boy. And like I was saying, though, I'm expecting my first child, and it's going to be a daughter, and she's due in July. And I'm very excited about that.
Have you got a... Have you guys gotten a name for her yet?
Well, we've been looking into various female scientists and other female figures of importance in it. And right now, we're kind of leaning on the name Ada Margaret. That's like Ada Lovelace, you know, the first computer mm-hmm. programmer. And then Margaret Hamilton, and she programmed the Apollo missions. And I think that's pretty awesome. I actually think space exploration and colonization is of the singular most important thing to our survival as a species. And I'm sure we'll go more into that in various episodes. Matter of fact, Monday's episode is about globalization and global governance, as well as cultural diversity. And one of my main points is that I feel globalization and global governance is important to space colonization. And since I put that at the top level of priority of things that I think are important, I obviously support that kind of... But I'll go more into what that means to me and in which ways I support and in which ways I wouldn't on that episode. And that'll be next Monday. And that's going to be a panel discussion where we actually have three people are going to be calling in, as well as you're going to have judges and I talking on this topic. So that should be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a very exciting episode. And I suppose that really begs the question of why do we make these episodes? Why am I here? Why is Dreadfish here? What experience have we had in doing this? Why do we do this? What do we get in this? What does this mean to us, and what do we want to make this? And I guess to answer that question, the best way to send to you first, well, this isn't the first show Dredd and I have done together. We used to do the show called Plundering Nomads, and we did 8 episodes, each a half hour, and I suggest you check it out. It was a lot of fun, and it's kind of exactly the same, but in somehow completely different from what we're doing now. And I think we plan on using some of the old episodes in case we ever miss an episode, so don't listen to them too good. So that was our first time doing this. And the reason I'm doing this now is, well, quite honestly, it's fun. I like talking. I like RF. And I like all of you people who are listening right now. And it's a way for me to get back. It's another way for me to interact. And it increases my pleasure of being in this community by bringing the show to you. And again, I think that's just to the point that this show is really about the community we have on RF. And I remember what I was interrupting about before. I was going to ask if you would all please share us on Facebook. Please share this radio show, this episode, on Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media account or forum you belong to that's not RF. This will, A, increase the amount of listeners on our show, which just, it's awesome when you have a lot of listeners on your show, and it's kind of what you shoot for. But two, since we're so closely associated with religious forums, the place where I will meet you, the place where you're all listening from right now, it would also bring people over to there. Because one, we've mentioned religious forums I don't know how many times. We even start Googling that stuff. But on top of that, we actually have a link in the episode description, and we also have a link in the show description, because it's the website I put in place for to describe our account. So again, if you can share on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or, you know, whatever social media thing you're into, we would really appreciate that.
Now, so, we have a call in here.
Oh, okay, let's take our call.
Take our call. Hey, you're on
hello.
Air. Who's calling?
Hey.
Hey.
Calling in to say hello. Hey, this is the general principal. How you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Doing pretty well.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi.
Well, hello.
Cool.
I'm very good to hear your voice. It actually sounds exactly like I imagined, except you sound less like a house than I thought.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I had any idea of what you might sound like. It's pretty cool to hear your voice.
Yeah, well, keep up the good work. If you want to ask me a question,
Go
ahead.
Well, how'd you get the name Brick?
Oh, well, you know, user Crossfire. She's Crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
I met her. She's think she's an administrator now, mod or something. But met her on another site and followed her over to this site. And one day, when I was conversing with her, she brought up the word subjectivity. And at the time, I'd never heard the term before, but it just really sunk in. It just matched a lot of things that I've been thinking about, and so it changed the way I thought a lot. So when
well,
I came over
off,
here, I just...
I'd like to thank Crossfire for bringing you here. And in case you guys didn't know, for a very short time, Brevity was also a moderator of RF, and he made it single-handedly remove 500 reports in one day. It was the most crazy thing I've ever seen.
I heard it was 5,000, but...
yeah, 5,000 of your infractions were handled by Brick Jeopardy in a single day. Everyone, please put your hands together for Brick Jeopardy, the greatest mod of all times.
Be clapping with one hand.
Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks.
Well, that's enough for me. I understand that somebody else wants to call in, so I'm going to go.
All right. Well, we don't have any calls yet, but if anybody else wants to call in, then go ahead. You're welcome to call in.
Are you going to hang around for a little while?
Well, you're welcome to. Let's see. So
well, I do have
we're going
to I don't have a lot of fresh material for you, so.
Yeah, that's okay. You can go then.
All right. It was fun. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for calling in. It was great talking to you.
So, obviously, I mean, I think you all have to wonder is, A, how did we get here? Why are we here? And what does it mean to be here for us? And I don't mean the radio RF here. I just mean the RF here. And, well, to me, one day I kind of just Googled religious forms. And this was not the first forum I belonged to, nor is it actually the first forum that I've moderated. Which is explains kind of why I just, when I felt like belonging to a community again, I just Googled religious forums in town here, and I am so glad I did because we have the greatest community I've ever belonged to anywhere ever, and again, I wanted to thank you for that. But the first forum I belonged to was I tried to be as undecent as possible to follow the forum rules, was a particular atheist forum, and that was interesting. And I actually nearly moderated that forum, but I didn't for a whole lot of a long story that I'm not going to get into tonight. But that led into us invading a Muslim forum. And then I actually ended up calling off the invasion of that forum, and then eventually they made me a moderator. And for a while, I moderated an Islamic forum. And that was a highly rewarding and experience in which I learned a lot about A, Islam, B, the world, and C, myself. And it was an experience that I don't think I'll ever let go of, and it was highly rewarding and highly engaging for me. And it actually led to my discovery of chaos magic and the next path, part of my path. In the sense that I came over as an atheist and we kind of invaded their site. And I began studying Islam. And that was for multiple reasons. A, we were there and these people were legitimately happy to have us. B, I was actually dating an Islamic girl at the time, so I was kind of particularly interested in the subject matter. And then eventually, I ended up exploring, you know, my atheism, secularism, and then Islam on that page, and I kind of just entered as an open-minded skeptic, yet atheist, and willing to engage in various behaviors to explore the path. And they were highly receptive to that, but they didn't want me to kind of just jump into anything and highly encouraged that I started exploring other paths, including paganism and various forms of that kind of worship. And just for briefly, we actually have a member who I know from that time period on RF, and his name is Woodrow_LI, I believe. And he was the admin who decided that I should moderate the Islamic forums on my time over there. So everyone say, hello, Woodrow. And he's probably not listening right now. But in case he is, hello, Woodrow. And so if you see him on the forum, just know that he's my friend. So respect him or I'll come and beat you up. I won't actually beat you up. I'll probably give you a hug. But I also moderated a humanist forum, and that kind of also fits into the both of those forums, because I was on this pagan forum because the Muslims encouraged that I look into other faiths, and paganism has always been something that I've been drawn to. So I was over there, and it was kind of run by this evil, evil, man-hating witch, and I used to just battle with her, like, constantly. And I became very involved in this path that really meant nothing to me because I entered it as my name originally when I entered both of those websites was Atheist of Peace. And I kind of entered into both communities as that. But when I entered into the pagan community, it was just the express reason of engaging in a practice to see if the experiences led to belief at the encouragement of my Muslim friends. And I kind of reinvented this thing called chaos magic all on my own based off of that. So the whole experience was kind of rewarding, and it's obviously I'm condensing a whole lot of material into a few talking points. So there's a lot more going on with all that. So if you have any more questions, I can go into that at another point. So how did you get into RF and just going on the forums in general?
I'm not sure how I got to RF specifically. I think I may have been looking for a certain topic and maybe found a post. I really can't remember that far back, but it was in 2009. And I was still officially Christian at the time, but not really strictly Christian. I was exploring other things. I wasn't dogmatic about it. And so pretty much most of my, I guess you could say, religious transformation and transitions have taken place while I've been at RF. And I love RF. It's been a great community. There have been a few times where I've been away for even a year. And even more recently, I still check in, even though I don't post very much, because I like the community and I like being part of it. The only other forum I've ever really been on, it was a band forum for one of my favorite bands, and I was on there for a long time until they changed the policy so that only people who were official club members of the band could actually post in the forums. And so there are a number of us who, of course, couldn't afford to, like, you know, be part of the club, and so couldn't continue posting at the forum, and feel kind of pissy about that, you know. And so, you know, had to find somewhere else, I guess. I'm not sure if I went to RF specifically right after that or not. I think there was just a downtime in between where I was on their forum at all.
Okay. How long have you been in RF?
Since 2009. It's been a long time.
I've been on RF for about 3.5 years now myself.
Yeah.
So not quite as long as, and again, I know I said this a lot on the forum, but I actually just wanted to say what an honor it was to serve as it is to serve right now as a moderator on this forums. Megan, it just means so much that I'm able to give something back to a community that I feel gives me so much, and I'm able to do that now two ways. I both moderate the forum, you know, making it safe, comfortable for everyone, and I produce these radio shows for you guys, and it just means a lot that I'm able, A, to do this for you, and B, how much support and appreciation you guys give for what I do and what everyone does here. So thank you. Anyways, Dredd, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, this A, it was the first time we've done a show together. But why are you doing a radio show with me on these topics? How did you get here?
Well, I don't remember why I started the first show with you. I don't even remember how it came up, but we did start it. And it was fun. Then we stopped. I've listened to NPR a lot, and I really enjoy that. And I've often kind of toyed with the idea of how I would like the idea of being on the radio or being a DJ or just being on some sort of talk show. And so, you know, whenever you wanted to revive our podcast and we wanted to make it centered more on RF, then I was like, well, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. This would be fun. And so, you know, we did our first episode and people, you know, were really responding well. And so I was really excited about the community aspect of it. And that's what makes this really fun. Like, if only a few of you were listening and nobody really cared too much, it was just real passive, it wouldn't be as fun to do this. The fact that people enjoy listening and contributing material, the segments, songs, and Sunstone's paintings, which are on our slideshow for this episode and the past episode, it just makes it that much better to me. I love the community aspect of it. So why did you decide you wanted to do another radio show?
All right, before I answer that question, I wanted to mention that in regards to Sunstone's painting, we did that last episode, this episode, and then the next couple episodes, we will be displaying the paintings made by Sunstone. And then once we've displayed all of those paintings, we do plan on interviewing about his painting and his art making and RF and him. And we'll have an episode of that after we've displayed all of his paintings. So look to that in the next upcoming weeks. And we actually have a bunch of interesting episodes coming in the upcoming weeks, including next Monday's episode. And that's going to be a panel discussion where we have three members calling in to discuss the topic of globalization, global governance, and globalization and global governance impact on cultural diversity and the importance or lack thereof of cultural diversity. That's going to be a pretty exciting episode considering how many people we have calling in. And then we also have an episode planned in the next 2 weeks on Zoroastrianism, and that should be a very interesting and informative episode. And I personally expect to learn a lot from that, and I hope that you all do too. We have a debate planned in the future with Well Named about the nature of consciousness. And we plan on doing more episodes like today episode where Dredd and I just talking to. Since we do two episodes a week, one will be of us, just me and him talking on topic, and one will be the interview format that you're used to so far. We'll have episodes on Hinduism planned. So as you can see, we kind of just have a lot of episodes planned. Now, to answer your question of why I'm doing this radio show, I think the first and foremost answer I can give you is because it's fun. I enjoy doing this. And the more people interact and support us, the more fun I'm having. So it encourages me further and further. In regards to how I first got involved in doing this, I have a friend, my friend Nicholas, and he does his own radio show, and I used to be involved in his radio show. And eventually he's like, yo, bro, go start your own show. And I was like, I need a co-host. And I asked you, and for some reason you agreed to do it, and we did 8 episodes of a show called Pondering Nomads. And I don't know if we mentioned this, but you might have mentioned this. We do plan on using some of those episodes for filler content when we run out of ideas, or if one of us is sick, or if we can only record half an episode, or whatever. We have 8 episodes, about a half an hour worth of time, that we plan on using to fill in content as needed in the future if we need filler content. So look forward to those episodes. And feel free to go check them out and listen to what you think and compare the two shows, Pondering Nomads versus Radio RF, and let us know what you think. Why I started doing it a second time? Maybe because my friend started doing his radio show again. And I saw it, and I was like, yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that. And it kind of gave me a way to communicate with you. And as you all notice, I tend to type pretty sloppily and make a lot of spelling mistakes. And sometimes I just don't feel like communicating through type. And this gives me another way to interact with my friends and, quite honestly, my online family. And it's fun. I don't know how many ways I can say, but this is fun, and the reason I do this is because I have fun. And that's the main goal of the show for me, is to have fun. But I also think being intellectual and learning is A, important, and B, fun. So I'm trying to put together a show that's humorous, intelligent, and fun. And those are kind of my goals. So we may take topics on a very light approach, but we're always hoping that, you know, it involves some form of critical thinking or fact learning or just thinking or learning things. Well, in a very light atmosphere, because I'm not trying to be very preachy or pushy with anything. I'm just taking what I want to learn about, what you want to learn about, what I want to talk about, what you want me to talk about. I don't really care. A lot of it. But the thing is, I don't necessarily want this show to be 100% religious, because I'm some way irreligious. Anyways, why, what do you want this show to be to you, Dreadfish?
Well, like I mentioned before, it's the community thing that really interests me the most. And this wouldn't be as fun. Like, even if lots of listeners on RF really liked the show and listened, it still wouldn't be quite as fun as it is with people actually contributing. And again, I would love to encourage any and all of you to contribute something. If you have an idea for a topic that you just want to hear but you don't want to be on, feel free to let us know. You can PM either Itty or I, and or you can post in the thread or let us know in chat. If you want to be on and be interviewed or just discuss a certain topic, let us know. If you have songs, if you have a written piece, poetry, or anything like that you'd like, let us know. If you have pictures or paintings that you would like on here, also let us know. And remember, whatever you give to us to use is still yours, always yours. We'll only use it as much as you would like us, and we will credit you if you want, or we will not credit you if you do not want. I definitely encourage you guys to contribute, because we want this to be an extension of the forum where everybody has a voice and has something that they can say. So most definitely.
I mean, actually, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. There are certain topics I don't feel topic or comfortable allowing to be on our show. And that is, there's particularly two of them. I don't particularly feel comfortable allowing people to endorse creationism or really even anti-climate change on our show, outside of the sense that it may be impossible to go into certain topics without those. How do you feel about that? I don't necessarily, I mean, I feel those stances have been pretty much well squashed by reality, and that as a nation and the world, we need to move on, and we shouldn't allow people just to get onto something. How do you feel?
Well, whatever we discuss, we'll always make sure that it's done in a civil way and so that it's never an argument.
Except for when we're debating. Yep. It's okay.
Well, debate shouldn't be an argument. So, you know.
Okay.
All right, well.
The song of yours, right?
Yes, so we're about to run out of time, so we'll go ahead and say goodbye to everybody. We've got one more song by my old band called 3 Pound Universe. So good night, everybody. Good night, RF. Good day. Good now.
I just wanted to ask. Anyways.
Thank you again, everybody.
Anyways, as you know, my favorite word is anyways. And disregard what I said earlier, we'll get more into that next time on Radio RF next Thursday when Dredd and I, again, continue to interview each other. Anyways, my favorite word, good night, goodbye, good morning.
Good now.